Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Is a similar story. There's an annunciation. There's someone who will become pregnant who doesn't expect to be pregnant, and it's a bit of a surprise. And I wonder if you know what it's like to be surprised. Yes, good. I want to tell you just a little bit about what I expected my day to be like yesterday. I expected yesterday to get up. I had a little bit of work. I had to assemble the music that we'll be using at our 10:30 service today, our connection service. I had to assemble that music, just print it out and get it into binders. That's something that I do every week. I get all our binder music done for our musicians. And so select some music, get it printed out, put it into binders, and that was what I expected to do yesterday. Not a big thing, right? I expected maybe to watch some TV, maybe the newest episode of The Mandalorian, okay? That's what I expected to do yesterday. So yesterday, here's what I did. First, I rented a van and went and picked up a washer that someone is giving to us at the parsonage. Mavi and her husband Eddie are moving to Vegas. They're coming back from time to time. We're not saying goodbye, but you know, they are moving. They gave the church and then the parsonage a washer, and that's great. So it was a really heavy washer. Cameron back there, he had to help carry it, and the two of us couldn't do it on our own. We had to have help. It was really heavy. Then, let's see, what else did I have to do? There was a leadership issue here at the church. We have amazing and incredible leaders at the church. We had to work through something hard yesterday. I'm grateful for our leaders, but that took up a big chunk of the day, right? And so, when I expected to have this day that was a little bit, you know, easy, and then when it came to, I wasn't able to work on the things that I expected to work on until about 8 o'clock last night. Oh, here's the other thing. Oh, I forgot to mention this. My beautiful son, Zachary, God bless his little pointed head. We had to drop off the rental van, right? Beth went to see the gay men's chorus last night, so she couldn't give us a ride home after that. So he said, well, let's go to dinner. And okay, we walked over to Subway because the place where we dropped off the van is right here on Garnett. And then we walked over to Subway, and Zachary, God bless that child, said, Daddy, let's walk home. That's my day. Now, maybe you've had unexpected days like that where you're unhappy at the end of the way it worked out. It was all okay. But maybe, here's another possibility for you. Maybe you are an art aficionado. Maybe you walked into an art gallery in Miami expecting to see some art, and instead you got something different. Did y'all hear about this? An artist, I'm drawing a blank on his name, and frankly, I don't have the energy to look it up right now. Maybe somebody knows. It's an Italian artist. That's okay if you don't know. This art gallery, this art exhibit in Miami, and what he does is he duct tapes a banana to a wall. Do you know what it's sold for? Lewis says $10,000. No. $120,000 for the first one. And the second one. The third one went up to $150,000. Reporting indicates that two museums also bought two of them for undisclosed amounts.
And he also sold, he had bananas without, that he had eaten bananas with just a meal.
There were eaten bananas. So here's what I want to get at. Do you know that if you were one of the people who spent $100,000 on this art, it didn't actually matter that you got the banana and the duct tape. Do you know what you got? You got a certificate of authenticity and a 14-page document on how to stage the art. It's a banana on a wall. Why do we need 14 pages on how to stage this art? The bruises are important. Later on, a performance artist came into the gallery and ate the banana. Like, talk about defying expectations. I mean, this blows my mind. But does this level of shock, even though we have some humor to it, does this level of shock and surprise match what Mary must have felt when suddenly she had a divine visitor? Does it match her level of surprise when she had someone who she'd never met before appear suddenly and say, "I got a surprise for you"? Let's hear this text and then explore from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke as Judy reads.
From Luke 1, 26 to 38, the Common English Bible. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman, who was labeled unable to conceive, is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Then the angel left her.
The first two verses in what we read today are packed. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. It's packed. This is one of the first historical records, particularly in writing, of any information about a city called Nazareth. It's an early, early description of a town that probably only had a few hundred people in it. Right? Not a lot of people write long stories about towns that only have a few hundred people in them. And yet here we have this introduction to this city, to a virgin, to a man engaged to a man named Joseph. Now, if we remember the order in which the Gospels are written, it's likely that Luke, even in the intro, Luke says, "Listen, I've got all these other sources around me," right? It's likely that the author of Luke had the Gospel of Matthew as he was writing this Gospel. Okay. So perhaps the author wanted to make sure that he connected with the Gospel of Matthew and the story of Joseph. But do you notice how there's this long, long, long sentence and then a really short one? When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. That lineage is important. The virgin's name was Mary. That short sentence. And do you see how it's almost this crescendo? There's a literary technique where it's the very last thing you say that receives the emphasis. It's Mary who's important to this story. Now, Mary's a very common name. Even in our New Testament, we read about Mary who's the sister of Martha, and we read about Mary Magdalene, and then we read about Mary who's the mother of Jesus, but there are other Marys that we read about as well. And yet, here, The emphasis is on this woman. Now, we don't have a lot of information on the background of Mary either, at least not biblical background. There are some what we call extra-biblical sources. There's something called the Proto-Evangelium, I think I'm pronouncing that right, which are writings, it's like the prequels. Okay? It's like later on, after the Gospels were written, somebody went back and said, let's write some prequels. And that's where our Catholic siblings get some really rich stories and traditions about, including the perpetual virginity of Mary, about how she gave birth and then the woman who was helping her give birth said, anyway, we don't need to get into that detail, but okay, all right. But if we talk about biblical sources, there's not a lot of history about who Mary is. Now, some sources will say that Mary was probably in her early to mid-teens. Historically, we might say, well, maybe her late teens. That Proto-Evangelium would say that Joseph was very old. Historical tradition would say that maybe he's about 10 years older than Mary. We don't have those details in this text. We know that she's going to get married, that she's engaged, but then something happens. Surprise! Right, this angel shows up. And I find her response, well, first I find the way he addresses her beautiful and filled with wonder. Hail, favored one. Do you know I can't say those words without hearing Ron Jesse sing it? Maybe you're the same way. If you didn't hear it last year, he and Stephanie sang this incredible duet. I can't hear those words without hearing Ron. Hail, favored one. And it's these words, if you look at the Greek, it's these words that express joy. It's not like, hey, I'm really, you know, hey, how are you doing? It's, I'm excited to see you. I'm glad to see you. It's words that express joy. Hail, favored one. Now, he says what's going to happen. And she is confused in this. Verse 29, she was confused by these words. Other translations say perplexed. The Greek words actually introduce the possibility of a little bit of fear in this time. Maybe that's why the angel responds, have no fear. I don't know if you've had this experience. I have absolutely had this experience. When God shows up in unexpected ways and says, boy, am I glad to see you, sometimes there's a catch. That's what it feels like to me. When I experienced my call to ministry, I felt like God was saying hello, and I'm so glad to see you, and oh my goodness, there was a catch. When we talk about unexpected, I have to tell you, my friends, I did not expect that in my mid-40s this was what I would be doing. Maybe when you have experienced God speaking to you, you too have felt a little bit afraid. Maybe it's been unexpected. And maybe you've worried that there was a catch. Mary responds. Mary responds with a practical question. How is this going to work out? And the author of the Gospel of Luke, you know, it's important to remember that the author of the Gospel of Luke is also the author of the book of Acts. And if you remember, one of the commonalities between Luke and Acts is the presence of the Holy Spirit. So what does the angel say? The Holy Spirit will work in you and through you, and you will conceive and bear a son. It is the Spirit that will be in you. The angel continues and says, nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. Yes, even God picking a woman with limited background. We don't know who she is or where she came from. And God says, look, here you are. I see you. I acknowledge you in your womanhood and in your humanity. I see you and I call you. Nothing is impossible for God. God calls this young woman. God says it is in the Spirit that amazing things will happen. My friends, if we have experienced the fear of God speaking to us, of God seeing us in all our rawness and all our humanity, God acknowledges us And still, in spite of the ways we may feel like we have failed ourselves or our God or the world, God says, I see you and I call you because nothing is impossible for God. In this time, as we prepare for Christmas, know that God sees you, that the Spirit is in you, that you are empowered to do amazing and wonderful things, not in spite of who you are, but because of the Spirit that works in you. How might we respond? Perhaps we might respond saying, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said. Because according to that story, that's the only way God will let you go and leave you alone. May we know God's voice and the power of the Holy Spirit. Know that God sees us and calls us, and that we might respond. Amen. I invite you to join me in the spirit of prayer. Holy God, as we are gathered here in this place, as we are connected as community, as we remember that we are seen fully and completely by you and empowered by your Spirit, we connect with one another in that same Spirit, the Spirit of music, the Spirit of joy, but also the Spirit of longing, the Spirit of wonder, the Spirit of fear, the Spirit of authenticity as we are in this place. God, we lift up Dee Barra on the loss of her uncle over the course of this last week, quite sudden. We pray for her uncle's family and all those who experience this loss. God, we lift up our incredible church leaders, especially Hope and Lynn, who struggle and work through difficult circumstances with grace, with capability. God, we are so grateful for the leaders that you have called and empowered to be faithful members and leaders in this congregation. God, we lift up all these prayers to you and any that are left unsaid. As we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.